Hey, the January 30th meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Steelmeyer.
Here.
Scarlett.
Here.
Steele, absent.
Okay, you should have, you were provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions to note to that agenda? If not, all in favor of the agenda, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We also had available to us online the minutes of the December 5th, 2012 meeting minutes. Or do we have any corrections or changes to those minutes? Okay. Hearing none, then those minutes will be approved as they were distributed. For those who may not have been here before, let me go through the process as we go through the hearings. We start the hearing with a presentation by the staff. They'll present their report. We'll be asking if there have been any written communications from the public prior to the meeting that need to go into the record. We'll then give the applicant the opportunity to present their case. We will hear comments from the public, and then the hearing will then be closed. We give the applicant usually one last final closing statement if they will wish at that point in time, and the board will deliberate. We will deliberate and we will take no further input from the public unless they are specifically asked. And if you do have a comment or question, we'd ask that you come up to the podium as we go. We will deliberate and there will be a decision made this evening. Okay. I believe everyone signed in. I think I saw everybody up at the table. Thank you very much. Any public comments of a general nature not associated with the case this evening that the public would like to bring? Okay. There is none. Do we have any old business to come before? And then we go on to our new business. First thing we have is election of officers. We have to appoint a chair and a vice chair for the year, for calendar year, as we go down through that. We do that every year in January. So do we have any volunteers or suggestions from the board?
I second that.
Don't give them time to think.
How about four vice chairs? Anyone?
I move Steve McGill remain as vice chair.
Then we have a slate of candidates for Dave Miller for the chair and Steve McGill for the vice chair. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye. Don't sound so enthusiastic.
And then we have an extension for KCUP 0907. Do you want to review that, please?
This is, it's unique that these are being brought together. This is a conditional use permit that applies to the same parcel. And so the reason this is first on your agenda is it's actually referenced in the staff report as being an active conditional use permit in the second agenda item. This is for a retail and novelty farm for Black's Heritage Farm. Just in going through the application for the TAMNIS Technologies conditional use permit, Ms. Black brought to our attention that the conditional use permit did expire on January 8th of 2013. You, of course, had not met, and so this was the earliest that we could bring it forward to you for an extension. When that was initially approved, it was approved for a five-year time frame. If you look on the slide up here in purple, this is under Section 10, 6.0, subsection B. This is a section of the conditional use permit chapter of the land development regulations that addresses when the board may or may not grant an extension. And Section B just says the Board of Adjustment may extend for a period of up to 1 year the date when a permit would otherwise expire pursuant to Section 10.60.A if it concludes, number one, that the permit has not expired, so if we were then here last December, or two, the permit recipient has proceeded in good faith and with due diligence, or three, conditions have not changed so substantially as to warrant a new application. I think definitely number two and number three would be applicable, and staff would recommend a year extension through January 9th of 2014. And I would actually recommend that maybe you would take it out to the same date as tonight's hearing so that we can be consistent with that.
So if we go to the end of this extension, Leanne, you know, at that point in time, I mean, the period of one extension would be there, and so if the conditional use were to continue, they'd have to reapply?
No, I think what we would do is we would bring it back to you in a year and just say, let's consider that the initial five-year time frame, allow them some more time to build the endeavor on the site, and then actually we'll have an opportunity to weigh the use in conjunction with Chandless Technologies, if that is indeed improved as well by you. That would then allow us to look at, on a more holistic basis, the property, and then likely bring it back and look at a longer time frame next year for the whole case.
I move we extend the
second that.
We've got a motion and a second to for an extension for KCUP 09-07 through January 30th, 2014. Any further discussion? Okay. Crystal, vote.
Charlotte.
Aye.
Gilmeyer. McGill.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. Okay, then we will move on to CUP 03-12, the Chandless Conditional Use Permit. I'll turn it over to staff for the staff report.
And I failed to mention, a copy of this presentation is over there if you didn't get one. It's over by the agenda. This will be a standard presentation for you. You've seen several conditional use permits. I'll start out with property information, then I do have site shots in here, and then talk about the standards for approval, and then the commission ended with the recommendation and answering questions. If you do have something, though, as I'm going along, like a site shot, you want some more detail, maybe if you want to ask me then, I'll be glad to take it at that point. Too many buttons to push. I was pushing the microphone to advance the computer there. This is an application being brought forth by Chandless Technologies. The property owner is Blacks Enterprises Incorporated. You are well aware of the location. It currently is assessed as an agricultural classification and land use. Just some history on that. Prior to 2009, the classification was changed from commercial to agricultural. But if you look back on the zoning district map, it has consistently been classified as A1 agricultural since 1958 is when we established zoning. So there's a combination of factors. Assessment has changed, but standard zoning has remained consistent. The requested action is to establish a wood yard waste disposal site. This is for the City of Ames and residents. It is processed as a conditional use permit as a nursery and greenhouse, including retail sales. You've done a couple in a similar manner. We don't have a classification for wood yard waste disposal. Actually, if you look at our table of conditional uses in Chapter 10, they're pretty general descriptors, and then we can drill down more specificity through those general headings, and that's how this is being processed. Again, this is proposed to serve the City of Ames. An RFP process was followed by the city, where Chandless was awarded a contract. I believe you were forwarded a copy of the minutes, or they're in front of you this evening from that meeting when the City of Ames did review that, and I do have some comments from them too on why they went to from a different vendor. This does require, though, that the site, if it is approved, is operational 30 days before the start of that contract period, and that's April 2nd, 2013. This means that the site has to be fully permitted and ready to go by March 1st, 2013. Nature of operations, I won't go into great detail because the majority of this was in the staff report and the application materials, and the applicant is here as well and will provide a presentation, but again, it's to collect wood yard debris, waste from storms, etc., on a semi-daily basis, but they'll also have free days, similar to what Ames has been hosting for the past few years. The materials will be mulched on site and then transported off site to Eddyville to be used for compost materials. This is a surrounding property owner notification map. The property is in yellow. I want to make sure it's consistent with what I'm seeing. are those that are within a quarter mile of the property boundaries. Majority of these lands are indeed under the ownership of Iowa State University or an arm extension thereof. Again, with conditional use permits, we do want to look at what the proposed and long-range plan designations are. So we look at the land use framework map, specifically the Ames River Fringe Plan, and this is proposed to be agricultural and farm service. And there's a portion that's in the airport protection area. If you see on this little dashed line, that's the airport protection area. And so it's not very significant on the property, but does exist. The staff is of the conclusion that this type of use would be consistent with that agricultural and farm service designation. This is a screenshot of the existing buildings on site on the right. This is from 2008 aerial photography. On the left is the property card from the assessor's office, and that is actually the best quality we could get it. There are a number of structures there, as you can see from both, that were associated with prior use for a seed sale. And these structures date back several years on site, too. I have a few site shots here. These were taken in January, earlier in January. This is in the general area that will be used for the drop-off of the materials and grinding. We're looking towards the southwest. And this is that same spot, just turning straight south. And then we're looking now in the northern driveway. This is actually proposed to be the main entrance to the site for the proposed circulation route. Later on, you'll hear me talk about well 2. That is located generally up in this area. Yeah, you'll see in the next slide. If I just turned around in this site, that would be generally where the well is. Now I'm looking to the southwest. There's a this would be part of the circulation route to go between these buildings. Same angle, but in the opposite end, looking towards the northeast. So you have the views of both. And then looking towards the east through the exit route. And then southwest on towards the exit route, and then looking west, due west, and you see some stockpile materials in the rear. That's generally where the stockpiling and mulch would remain. Looking due west too, and I want to show this, and we'll talk about the materials on site that may meet our definition of junked vehicles in a few minutes and how those have been addressed. And then there are three drives on the property. This is that middle drive that is I think primarily used with the existing conditional use permit and existing uses. This would not be used by individuals visiting the property for the proposed wood yardway site, however. And then this was looking, earlier I showed you where the grinding area would be in the drop-off. That's generally in that location, too. And then looking straight south in that same area, and then looking towards more to the west. Close-in shot of existing materials on the site. The applicant did include a traffic management plan that had a defined circulation route, and I tried to give you some snapshots of that as we went through. But it would start in this northern driveway, come in, and then go in between these existing bins, drop off right in this location, and the applicant will address this in further detail, and then exit out the most southern drive, and then you can either choose to go north or south from that point. Several findings of fact, and I won't belabor this by going through them in great detail. I've highlighted a few, and again, this was in the staff report and your decision and order, as well as the presentation that's available for the public. First of all, I wanted to mention number 2. And that is, you did take action to extend case number 09-07 tonight. So that one would be an applicable findings of fact. And then on the second page here, looking at number 13, 14, and 15, these deal with the existence of junk materials on the site and response from the property owner to a letter sent out from us on January 16th. That many of the vehicles that have been many vehicles or materials have been removed from site or in the process of being removed. But further than taking that further, some of the materials used with the existing conditional use permit, and I'll address that later on, but those are added in here as well. Getting to the analysis, you all know the standards of approval identified in Section 10.30. We have the six criteria to begin with, and then we have additional development criteria. Compatibility, I'm not going to stand and read that. This was all defined in the staff report, just to give you some highlights. Again, majority of the land surrounding are agricultural, zoned A1. It's clearly agricultural use, whether it be university-owned lands or other property-owned lands. Closest residential property happens to be under the ownership of the property owner for which this conditional use permit is being applied as well. Staff did raise some questions and present to that commission as well as you this evening. How will the proposed use of the wood yardway successfully integrate with the existing retail novelty farm? And I think the applicants will address that tonight as well. Transition. Sound like a broken record, but again, that majority of land is in agricultural, and from a transition standpoint, this should fit in nicely with that surrounding land uses. It is a little over a mile to the south of the Ames corporate boundaries. Go straight, and then you reach University Boulevard, what is known in the city of Ames as University Boulevard. There are five single-family dwellings to the north, and then that immediately east. But again, to the south, predominant land use is agricultural. I've shown you the proposed traffic circulation patterns, and the applicant has indicated no new structures will be created on site or need to be involved in this. Also, to really prevent trespassing on the site when not operational, there will be a gate proposed or placed at both drives, the most northern and the most southern, to really prohibit entrance during the non-operational hours. One thing that did come up today, though, as I was talking to individuals on the phone on this matter, is the degree to which traffic in that circulation pattern may be kept on site on those free days, or if there will be a need to spill out onto the county gravel road. What I started doing in my mind is looking at, I'm sure all of you have been through free days on the Ames, and I know personally I've been there where I've turned off Lincoln Way onto Dayton, and that's where I started, and then gone on into on Southeast 5th to Friel. So I just used our GIS and kind of gave some figures in my mind what that distance was. And if you'll bear with me, this is not in the staff report or anything. I just did this a little bit ago. The former site that is not under consideration, but just to get a nature of what that was like, when you turned off of Lincoln Way onto Dayton and then waited there, and just say you're staffed right there, that's a little over 4,000 feet till you finally drop off, give or take a couple hundred feet. I divided that by 40 feet. Standard length of a pickup is 25 feet, allows for 15 feet stop-go. That you could basically stack 106 vehicles. Are you all with me? Okay. 106, yep. Again, this is Dayton to Southeast 5th, and then turning right onto Southeast 5th, and then turning right onto Friel, and then drop off in the main. So if we look at the site, and I'll go back to the circulation, where it says in, if you draw kind of roughly a sketch out in our view from the end point to the drop off, is about 830 feet. Again, I use the same 40-foot distance, divided that 830 feet by 40, I get 21 vehicles, 20.75 to be exact. I took that times 2 because there's a possibility to double stack, possibly, and take that, so you get about 41 vehicles, 41.5. So I took that then from the 106 to see what the difference was and see how many, on that worst case scenario that I personally have experienced, how many more vehicles would need to be accommodated to flow through. So, you know, doing my math, that's 46 vehicles. I have my scribbles. I'm trying to read as I go. 46 vehicles. So I went backwards then to that times 40 feet to see the, what the additional seat was needed. It was, it was 1840 feet, and that gets you up to the intersection, this driveway here, to the next intersection north, is about 700 feet, 690 feet. So you can have another 17 vehicles there. It actually takes you up until about 300 feet south of the residence to the north, which is off the site. So I'm bringing this up so that as you discuss the matter with the applicant, have your discussions amongst yourself, a condition of approval that is not outlined in here at all is to address traffic control if it's needed and how that can be accomplished off-site if indeed that worst-case scenario that I think several of us have experienced here as well. And maybe the applicant has some other alternative, stacking more than two, et cetera. Any questions on, I hate throwing facts and figures when you don't have anything to see in front of you in writing too, but any questions on that? Okay. Going back to then traffic, I covered all that. I've already mentioned ingress and egress is off the existing drive. County Engineer Darren Moon did some traffic analysis. As the applicants will share with you, there's kind of anecdotal information from the current or the past vendor as to the number of people experienced on free days, just like I can share my experience with you and we all can share. They didn't keep accurate logs, so it's kind of, once it's just approved, it'll be kind of try as you go to figure out an accurate number, and right now it's kind of best guesstimate. But with what Darren knows is existing out there and some of the potential numbers that were thrown out there, he said it could near on the free days 800 and 900 vehicles per day. And then we did just address the overflow traffic. In past applications, when you've approved them, you've had a condition of approval that the applicant maintain a daily log of visitors, both on normal days as well as free days, and that really gets us to get some more much-needed information. Parking and loading, kind of discussed this a little bit too, but the applicant does have some additional information that he submitted that you've been forwarded with that were revised plans submitted on January 29th. He'll review this with the members of the Board of Adjustment, but it does show where the staff will park and many of the issues associated with the parking and loading. Signs and lighting, there's existing lighting on site. Honestly, the nature of operations are such, though, that artificial lighting will likely not be needed in Iowa. We have enough adequate lighting during the months that this is in use. The application also indicates signs will be installed. Just cautionary note that all signs ought to be in accordance with the land development regulations. Environmental protection. I just want to highlight a couple matters here. Odors, this is the material on site for wood and yard waste, generally do not have odors associated with them. And as the materials are turned over, mulched, and removed from the site on a monthly basis, even that should be even lessened to a greater degree if that schedule is maintained. There is a possibility of dust with additional traffic. Again, the road is a county gravel road. The Planning and Zoning Commission did discuss the possible condition of approval regarding provision of dust. If you allow me, I'll get to that in greater detail on another slide. Applicant did contact the local fire district. West Story Fire Agency did acquiesce and acknowledge that they received the application there in support of it. And then at the Planning and Zoning Commission, there was a recommended condition of approval that prior to your meeting tonight, operational site plan be submitted. That was submitted on July 29th as well by the applicant. And I'm sure he will be able to answer any questions you have. And today, one item that was brought up by a member of the public, too, was along the route, though, will there be any unnecessary debris that will either fly off a truck, if it's not possibly packed in tight, or whether intentionally or accidentally, and how will that be then cleaned up? And that would be something for you maybe to add into your discussions. That's not in the staff report. That's not in here, but I thought it went nicely under environmental protection. Dust control. I said I was going to get to this. Darren Moon, our county engineer, looked at the request as he does all through interagency review. There are three levels of dust control that the Planning and Zoning Commission discussed. The first one is the purple, and that is what is required by City of Ames along the perimeter of the conditional use permit itself. Mr. Moon recommended a level beyond that, that an additional 200 feet be added to take it to the intersection with 260th. And then he also suggested that dust control, that's the blue, dust control be added in these orange spots in front of the residential single-family dwellings. And he did put out the figure, if dust control was suggested or ultimately recommended or approved on the entire stretch, it'd be about 5,500 feet to provide the dust control along the entire area. Ultimately, the commission's recommendation before you tonight is what's required by Ames, and then the 200 feet to the north of the intersection. The additional criteria, those are those development impacts that come at the end of every presentation. There is one that we look at consistency with existing regulations. And that's where I said we come back to the possible existence of junk or salvage materials on the site. We do have a letter from the Black that was submitted this week. I think give a copy, and we forward a copy to you prior tonight, regarding that many of the materials that were referenced in the January letter to them have been removed from the site. But there are some that they'd like to see left on site that will become part of the operation for the Heritage Farm, for the retail farm and novelty. Since you've now taken action to extend that, what I will do is communicate with Mrs. Black that a modification request will need to be submitted to our department to actually officially have those added as part of the conditional use permit. It will likely be an insignificant modification done solely by me on an administrative level. But I think that issue regarding junk or salvage on the site has, I think, was satisfactorily addressed then. And with this additional modification, can say that property would be in conformance. Conditions of approval, you know, you may by right associate conditions of approval or attach conditions of approval to conditional use permit. That's the nature of the beast when it comes to conditional use permits. That's inherent conflicts are addressed through those. Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation, I shared that with you regarding dust control. Then generally, they did recommend approval. They did have quite a lengthy discussion on that dust control. An amendment to the original motion was made, and ultimately that was amended. They did recommend 8 conditions of approval, and numbers 5 and 6 were those required prior to tonight's action, and those have been satisfactorily addressed. At the time the staff report was prepared, staff had not yet received those, but we did receive those this week. And again, these are 6 possible conditions of approval, taking out the other 2 in the past. And number 5, I left as originally recommended to the commission. That's just dust control measures will be required as outlined by Story County Engineer Darren Moon. Thought that best just leave it as is and you guys discuss as a board. Your alternatives are to approve the conditional use permit as put forth, approve it with conditions, deny the conditional use permit, and lastly, remand it back to staff for further consideration and the applicant for further consideration. And this is probably the most lengthy staff presentation I have given in quite a while. Do you have questions? Before I accept your questions, if you have them, we don't have anything from members of the public in writing. I do have a couple comments from City of Ames staff and county staff. I'm going to start with, first of all, Catherine Bazalinski. She is our environmental specialist, too, with Story County Environmental Health. Upon receipt of Mrs. Black's email regarding that discussed the well issue, I forwarded it on to Kathy. She did email back saying, I think that will be okay. I would just like to be able to make an inspection of the area in the spring, but we can contact her then about doing that. So I don't know that there needs to be any conditions or any concerns on the board on that. That really is a health department matter. And then I did follow up with the city of Ames. I know there was some mention in the minutes from the city that there were some non-compliance issues of the then operator. And I just wanted to get a handle as to what those were. Lori Hansen with the Resource Recovery Plant did respond. She wrote, one issue was securing the site. He needed to put the fence and install gates. Another was a general appearance and landscaping. He hadn't followed his site plan and landscaping, as in none of it, and had to do that. Another was pile height. He was only supposed to have piles 12 feet high, but had them over 20 feet in some places, so he had to knock them back a bit, and then park vehicles on top of piles, because that wasn't material. Again, I keep in mind that was the past operator with whom the contract with Ames no longer exists. Different, but I did want to follow up and get some sense of what, and that brings a point I need to make. If ultimately this is approved by the Board of Adjustment, it's possibly enforced by two entities, and we'll make sure if enforcement did have to occur, it'd be done in conjunction. City of Ames, because they have a contractual agreement, civil agreement then between the operator, the applicant, and themselves, and then we have a land use enforcement. And then lastly, Darren Moon, I did ask him about the traffic control, and he wrote back today, we talked about not backing up traffic at all on public roadway, but it would not hurt to put in provision that they are responsible for traffic control if it happens. And then I had asked him also about the refuse management or debris management, whatever you want to call it, on the ditches. He just said the second comment is also good, but I'm not sure how enforceable that would be if it is not adjacent to their property. And ultimately, the enforcement in the road right-of-way would fall back on the county engineer. And so that would not be something our department would enforce. I, even though I brought it up, I think he is a little bit hesitant, maybe at least make mention of good practice to follow it through, and but question on enforcement.
The only concern the county engineer
has? In the traffic back camp on the public roadway. No, he didn't mention that. No, and we run into that in November, too. Yeah. No, he had not. Now,
questions for staff? I think you were pretty thorough, man. I think you were pretty thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've covered the comments from the public that came in prior to the meeting. So then we will, if there's nothing else for staff, one last opportunity. Okay. We will turn over to the applicant. If you, whoever would like to speak, go to the podium and give us your name. And
good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug McCray. I represent Chambliss Technology. The applicant, off record, if you will, we have the approval of Mrs. Black and her family to proceed with this matter. Ms. Horner has done an excellent job of summarizing the application. We did receive a contract through the City of Ames. It will be activated once a conditional use permit is obtained for this site. One of the requirements of that contract, or several requirements to be maintained for this contract, one is that the site, wherever it be, within 2 miles of the City of Ames. One of the things I do want to point out, and Ms. Horner kind of alluded to it in her presentation, this is not only for the City of Ames, but for the residents of Story County. And the contract RFP specifically outlines that in the title. We recognize that traffic is a concern. Unfortunately, we have heard numbers for, and the numbers that are really of concern for everybody are on the free days, which occur every Saturday in November and one Saturday in April. That Saturday in April date will be decided based on weather more than anything else in conjunction with the city. we've heard the same numbers. We've heard anywhere from 300 cars a day to 900 cars a day. And the fact of the matter is, we really don't know what that actual number is until we do it. We have taken a look at the site. We have done an analysis of that and thought we have come up with the most reasonable traffic management plan that we can. We do plan on having extra staff on site on those days to manage traffic and to assist with the offload of material to the best of our ability. Some of these numbers, quite honestly, and we don't know this, we think are repeat customers based on information that we've had talking to the current, informally, if you will, with the current or past contract owner, who really didn't want to talk to us, but we kind of, you know, how many people you think came back on the same day? Oh, some. So, you know, that is an unknown for everybody here. I recognize that. I wish there was something I could do to calm those concerns and fears. Unfortunately, right now, we have to wait and see. One of the other questions that was brought up this evening is, and it's a concern, and it's a legitimately recognized concern, is what about the material that falls off en route to the site? We're required to maintain and pick up that material per the contract. Typically, at the end of the day, the employee or employees, depending on if it's a free day or not, will go back up 530th and look for any debris that's fallen off, pick it up, and return it to the site. On the free days, we expect we'll go down 530th as well, and any other locations we see where traffic may be coming from. You have in front of you, thanks to Ms. Harder, several different plans that answer questions that the staff had to come before you. This is about a 3 to 5 acre site, and we intend to take the raw materials and bring up our grinder once a month or during the free days on either Sunday or Monday, grind the material and remove it. Wood and yard waste does not have odor if it is let to set 60, 80, 90 days. We won't keep that material on site that long. We'll be moving it off. We're taking it to our Eddyville compost facility where we'll use it to mix with our other organic materials to make compost. We'll be removing the material in side dump trailers to basically 20 tons of load.
And have a grinder on site?
Pardon me?
1 or 2 days a month?
At this point, during the summertime, unless there's a storm and we pick up storm damage, we'll bring the grinder up once a month. We may elect not to bring the grinder up, depending on the volume of material we have, just load it into a side dump and take it down to Eddyville as well. We know on the free days we're going to have to grind that material to bring it down. Our Morbark wood grinder will go through, I'm best to describe this. We can go through a stack 10 feet high by 100 feet long by about 10 feet wide in about 3 hours. It's a diesel-driven, heavy diesel-driven industrial wood grinder. I'm sorry, sir?
A grinder type?
It does the same sort of thing as a tub grinder, okay? The grinding itself is enclosed, yes. It's placed on a conveyor, it goes into the grinding area, comes out as ground wood.
What else you would like to say?
I'm prepared to answer any questions at this point. As I said, I think Ms. Harder did a pretty good job of explaining our position. Unless you have specific questions about how we intend to operate.
No, I was interested in the grinder and the number of days, because I've seen some of the open tub grinders put plumes up in the air. They're very significant, let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. That's why I was interested in the kind of equipment, how often it's going to be there. And
we plan right now bringing it up once a month, but again, we're not really sure what the volume is going to be throughout the summer. We may elect it may be easier for us if most the people are bringing in bag waste, just to put it in a side dump and take it out instead of grinding it. So,
if you get as much as you think you might get, and I realize it's not precise, how many trucks a week during the summer would this be?
How many trucks coming in or going out?
But up and down the road, how many would you have coming into the site and then leaving again?
We're guessing at this point 3 to 5 vehicles a day. And those are not large vehicles. Those are pickup or smaller. That's our.
No, I'm talking about your trucks, the hauling trucks.
Our trucks, yeah, will, obviously it will depend on how much material there is. I would foresee at this point no more than 2 or 3 after a free day. And certainly only 1 any other time. I'm sorry?
You talked a lot about the concerns related to traffic. What are the specifics in terms of your plans for traffic control? I mean, I've heard you mention that on free days you'll have extra employees there sort of to help cars get in and out more quickly. But, I mean, is that the extent of the traffic control?
The existing traffic management plan for the normal daily 3 to 5 cars, we don't think that there will be an issue for that.
Right.
It's the heavier days, which we recognize we're going to need help with moving people in and helping move things out. The traffic plan, if you can put that slide up, please. It's set up so the vehicles coming in either from the north or the south will come in and turn. If we have vehicles coming from the south because we suspect most of the vehicles will be coming from Ames to begin with, those will have the priority back into the site so that we can keep traffic moving freely as it leaves the site. Obviously, this is the bottleneck if it becomes necessary.
We're going to have people, staff on hand to help unload and that sort of thing, because I think your bottleneck's going to be right there when you bring them in and people unload.
We plan right now, we anticipate having 10 to 12 of our employees here on free days. We're getting volunteers. We may, one of the things that has been talked about, I will tell you, is looking for volunteer organizations that are looking to make some money. The Boy Scouts and somebody, and bringing them in to work that site as well for that material.
Mm-hmm. 15 to 20 vehicles unloading simultaneously. There was that much going on. I guess I look at that small drop-off area and I wonder how many vehicles are going to be able to be unloaded simultaneously. That may be a throughput issue for you.
That may be. Mrs. Black can discuss the area a little bit.
Could I interject in that? Keep in mind, we used to be a feed company.
Right.
We'd run 10, 20, 30 trucks through there a day. And indeed, we had employees as well. And the area where it's arched right there, that is complete open area that we can bring people in off the road. And if nothing else, they'll just sit still for a minute till we can get them in line and move them through. And we've had our functions there in the past for our tourist farm, and we have had over 3,000 cars on site. And we didn't have any bottlenecks, and we never had a traffic incident, not once, in the time that we've been doing it. And so there's 19.8 acres there that we can bring people in.
In terms of flat space, I understand that. I was going more down to, when I saw the one drawing that had the drop-off spot,
right,
that looked to be no bigger than about the size of a basketball court.
Well, yeah. It's a lot bigger than you think, because those are all bins, and each one of those bins is 18 to 20 feet. So if you count those bins, that's a lot of space there.
We're talking about dropping off this whole area.
Yeah, we used to put our semis
in there. The loader as soon as that area is full.
Yeah. We used to have trucks coming in and out of there to pick up their seed, as well as us working those bins. And so there was a lot of activity in the past. So if anything, we're very experienced on how to get semis in and out of there. And keep in mind, the roads were in a lot worse condition years ago than they are now. Our county has done a wonderful job of keeping that road up. I mean, it's one of the better, more traffic roads in the community, in this area.
Yeah, it was just, my concern is if you can't simultaneously unload enough cars, you're going to have even more in line.
If nothing else, we can get them down by those bends where that X area starts, and that's a pretty big area there.
If you can move them down.
Yeah.
Dump here as well.
Yep.
Okay.
And just keep shooting them out.
If it comes to that.
I mean, I realize what you can do with semi-trucks and truck drivers and know what they're doing, but the different kind of vehicles and trailers and other stuff that I saw going in and out on the yard waste site is anything but orderly.
Yeah.
Our desire is to make it as orderly as possible.
Right, yeah. The evenings that we would have 1,000 cars count, when we would have IFU have their vet med functions out there, we routed them in and out of the south driveway only. And they had to come in, and they were stopping them, stamping them or whatever, tagging them. I don't know what they were doing. And we never had them on the road, because once they got them in that south driveway, about... actually going against the grain versus the other way. We're gonna flow through. Stopping them in that south area, like the functions have happened in the past. I think that's one of the lessons we learned, is the movability. a lot of functional area there that we are willing to let be used for this, and we've got the proper insurance to take care of those types of issues.
Now, it appeared in one of Leanne's pictures that they're on the north part of that. The squares in general, that there was, you know, a lot of, what is that? The piles of, what is
that? That's already waste that we've been collecting. We have two folks that are on site that rent from us, and they put their equipment in it periodically, and then they've been bringing that already to our place. And I know one of the concerns was with the leftovers. We have been fishing appliances and debris out of those ditches for probably 20 years, and either bringing it on site, and that's where some of these junk vehicles came from. We had a fellow just literally leave a pickup in the ditch, and it was right there by our property, so we just dragged it. We call that the boneyard, and we dragged it back there and just left it there. You can't believe what people think they can dump out in the country. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I can.
Yeah. Dishwashers, fridge, sofas. I mean, it's just unreal. And over the years, we've been the ones that have picked it up and disposed of it in one way or another. So, but we did get rid of the vehicles, as we discussed, and that was challenging because we didn't. It was an interesting journey, but we took care of it. So we're willing to adapt or make sure the flow goes.
Have, I mean, in terms of dealing with communities or areas of this size and this type of operation, you know, and having other traffic management issues potentially in other communities. I mean, do you have experience in dealing with situations like this?
The only place that I think we have that, the experience you're talking about, would be the Wapello County landfill in Cornwall. And that's a wider area. And it's not as confined. It's also probably not as busy as it would be on a free, given a free day. It's a whole different set of circumstances. This would be our first endeavor with collecting in this manner and disposing of grinding and moving. We do collect wood waste from a variety of different sources throughout central Iowa, and either grind them on site or take them down to Eddyville, depending on how that material is packaged, and grind it down there.
You guys deal with situations where people bring things in and maybe it includes some waste that you wouldn't accept. I mean, is there some sorting that goes on when people drop this stuff off? Or
if we see something that is not compostable, we will try to remove it prior to it entering the waste stream. If we can't, we don't. Things like plastic bags, anything that might, we don't see. We'll grind it and take it down to Eddyville, try to compost it. We screen our compost. That material comes out, then we'll take it to a landfill and dispose of it that way. Obviously, if we're helping or we're there supervising the unloading, we can go, sorry, no. One of the questions the staff had is a disposal on site for that. We will have a dumpster there to take that material. More, again, we don't know how much that might be. I can't. I live in a newer part of Ames. Anytime I've had waste, I've taken it down to Eddyville myself, giving it to the guys to do. So I haven't bothered to use I'm going to call him the existing contractor. He's still got the contract officially. But I do understand that there have been significant challenges, problems with them, not only in moving folks through, but in maintaining compliance.
We will now accept comments from the public.
Good evening, board members. I thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. I'm Kathy Brown. I'm the Assistant Director for Campus Physical Planning at Iowa State University. And I just wanted to take a few moments of your time, if you would, being the adjacent landowner of probably the most significant other than the Black family. We have two residents kind of within a half mile to a mile of the property, and we have a significant investment overall in property in this area. We use the land for teaching, research, and extension programs. And it's heavily used by our animal science, veterinary medicine programs, dairy science, Ag 450, which is the farm operation class, and animal agriculture mechanics. One of the program elements we stress is hands-on experiential learning for our students. And so we have students coming out to these farm sites for class activities as well as hands-on learning, working with animals, and operating farms and those kind of things. So the overall, the appearance of the area and sensitivity for it as a piece of the university, even though it's remote from the main part of campus, is still important to the university. And as we look at increased enrollment, increasing enrollments in our College of Ag, in fact, we're at record enrollments for the College of Ag, the land, if you will, and the animal science teaching farms, which extend along State Avenue and 260th Street, these are important to us. We also have an operating dairy farm that we've referenced to the west of the property. But in a nutshell, we care greatly about this area, how it looks and how it functions, and how it supports our institutional mission of teaching, research, and extension. We also want to be good neighbors in this area. And so you know, with that sort of background, I just wanted to provide you maybe with a context for the comments. And maybe I should say, in the long term, we continue to plan to have these types of activities for the foreseeable future continue on the properties to the west of this site. And in addition, on the way along University Avenue out to this site, we're anticipating that the research park will become an increasingly important part of activity and potentially growth along this corridor as you access the property. I had several comments, not knowing how this is my first time at one of your meetings, not knowing how the meeting was conducted and that kind of thing. Most of mine were focused around traffic, dust and debris, and those the nature of the operations. I think several of those have been addressed through Leanne's comments, your questions, and the applicant's responses and his statements. There were four things, though, that I'd maybe like to add. One of those is the scheduling of the free days. In the spring, in April, we have Visha celebration, and oftentimes there are open houses associated with those. As members of the community come out to the dairy farm or that area for open house events, I guess I'd like to request that maybe the scheduling of those free days take a look at the university calendar and try to avoid conflicts. And the other time of year is the heavy November. If every weekend in November is a free day, we also have home football games. And while this is not a paved road in access to the campus and University Boulevard and the football stadium area, I suspect there is heavier traffic on those days. So some of that may some of my concern may be able to be addressed through the timing of the open hours of the free days, but I would really appreciate some sensitivity for those major events that the university hosts. Another concern that has been expressed by my colleagues has been to address that if the applicant expands the materials beyond wood and yard waste, if there's an opportunity for just further discussion, or maybe I should just say there is a concern for that. And being aware and informed and having the opportunity to provide input to any approvals of other materials. The other traffic control, I appreciate the focus on the traffic within the site and Leanne's analysis. I'm glad she took the time to take a look at what the potential impact is out onto the county road system. We do have some concern that if people stack up too far on, 530th Street, that people may also try to access the site off of 260th, and that we could end up with congestion that might inhibit the flow of access to the farm sites that I've mentioned. I realize this is on Saturdays and not weekdays, but if traffic starts to bottleneck at that intersection, that might be another area of traffic control that we would appreciate monitoring. And then I think I've had some conversation around the idea that this permit might perhaps be reviewed annually. And we would appreciate, because this is a new operation on a new site, that might be an opportunity to provide any to address anything that is unforeseen. I appreciate the applicant's comments that this is the first time to do this and it's hard to anticipate everything, and we would agree. That kind of addresses the comments that I had. If you have any questions, I'm happy to respond.
Have you been able to talk with the city agencies? I guess I'm imagining the scheduling of these free days is probably entirely at the discretion of the city of Ames. I mean, is that something the university, truly you guys can coordinate with the city, I'm guessing, right?
Yes, I'd like to think we can. I guess I personally wasn't aware of this in a time frame that allowed me to have that conversation prior to this discussion, and it hasn't been a problem on the other sites. Because of their location, on the other site, because of its location. So it really is something that came up in the last 24 hours or whatever. But good question.
You don't know when
we'll just say the game changed.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges. It isn't even athletics, it's football TV coverage anymore.
I do know a couple dates. Visa is April 15th to the 21st. Homecoming is against TCU, and that's November 9th, and I would guess that that's pretty set since it's homecoming.
Yeah, it'd be just a time frame.
Time of the day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the time of day.
Well, for some of them.
Yeah, but I know those would be two very important weekends.
And maybe there's other ways to address that, too. We certainly haven't had any dialogue.
When you talk about, you know, the possibility that there might, this might be opened up, I guess I have a question for Leanne. I mean, if it got approved, we're really talking about, we're approving something that's limited to wood and yard waste, aren't we? I mean, suddenly people can't be dumping other things now. I mean, yeah. Okay.
That's our understanding as well.
I think
it would be limited to the application, and the application specifies wood and yard waste. Anything beyond that, modification could be requested, and then I would determine the level of modification.
Probably seek input from neighboring landowners, if appropriate, or Iowa State. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay.
It's an annual review of the conditional use out of something that we don't typically do. I mean, can we do that?
You have that. You've done that in several cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll give you an opportunity to make any closing statements that you might wish to make.
I appreciate the university's concerns about the aesthetics of the area. I certainly don't want to, and I'm sure Mr. Chambliss doesn't want to interfere with university operations or the aesthetics. I think that we are, as we embark upon this, we're kind of dealt a cruel blow of scheduling if homecoming is indeed this late this year. But I would also say, as an Ames resident, I know that I avoid the football area on game day, and I would think most people would as well, find an alternate way to access down that site. I appreciate the idea and the concern about Visha. We can certainly work the schedule around that with the city. I don't see that as a significant issue.
I think I mean, based on the comments that we heard, I think it would be, particularly with respect to Visha, if they're having open houses and things like that. I can't imagine you folks aren't sensitive to that. And, yeah.
Certainly are. I mean,
yeah.
I used to be on the faculty at the university for a little while, so I'm intimately aware of how important Visha is for recruiting and all university events, besides being an alum. But I think that, you know, there are some, I'd like to say we could work around the November 9th date. Fortunately, we can't. And my guess is that there's probably another date in November for a football game as well, and we're just going to have to deal with it. I know that, pardon me? Yeah, okay. But, you know, most people that would be proceeding, I'm sure the folks that went to this other site, if they lived on the west side of town or whatever, avoided Lincoln Way in general to begin with. So
November will work out. I mean, any of the times that I was at the existing site, when it's just leaves and stuff, there's way less people than when it's brush.
Yeah.
Brush day is what is the day that generates the big number.
Hey. I can officially introduce myself earlier. I'm Mrs. Black, owner of Black Heritage Farm, and I gave you one of our maps and one of my cards. Feel free to come and visit anytime you like. We also would like to point out in the past that years ago we had Lofredo's come on site, and they brought those veggies from their cutting kitchen, and we fed it to our animals. And we were getting 22 tons a week on that road and into our facility, and we didn't have a problem with that issue. Sometimes they'd come two or three times a week, depending on the situation. It all worked out well. It wasn't quite as intense as this was probably going to be. And as far as the university is concerned, we do our best to make sure that, you know, we keep our traffic from our functions under control, and we have gone to the extreme in the past of putting down the dust control ourselves. I don't think the university's ever done that in front of the dairy or that corner, which would be interesting, but as you can see, we're trying very hard to be compliant with all the situations. So we did the dust control at our expense. And as a lonely landowner, that was a little more. But I think that this will be an interesting journey for us. It'll bring a different venue to our farm, and it'll be an interesting change. Hopefully there will be 900 people, and they will come, and maybe they've never been to our farm before, and so then that will have them come back for the pumpkin patch or all of our other festivities. And as I mentioned earlier, we've always had a lot of parking, easy access for all the customers that come to our place. So if you get curious, come and see us, okay? If you have any questions of me? Nope, okay. All right.
Now, close this case for deliberation.
You have one question? Yeah. I assume we talked earlier about what would happen. Excuse me, Ms. McRae? Yeah. I assume we had talked earlier that if the roads are posted, let's assume we have a real soft spring. That's what happens out here in a lot of the gravel areas that we get on. You've got sufficient storage area there that you can store the brush, you can store the groundwood until you can finally get your trucks back in there to get it hauled out.
Sure, we believe so.
Okay.
I mean, this area is about 150 yards long. From what we see, and I don't think that in the spring there'll be that much material to come in.
Thank you.
Now we'll close for deliberations. As you know, as a board, we've dealt with these before. We are somewhat constrained as we go down through this, but we will be stepping through all of the criteria that are part of the code. The first thing we have to do is to move to find, if we have no problems with the findings of facts presented by the staff, we need to accept those.
I move that we adopt the findings of fact in the staff report as amended as it relates to item number 2, indicating CUP case number 0907 was extended through January 30th, 2014, because I think that's what we did, through action of the Story County Board of Adjustment on January 30th, 2013. And presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Okay.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report as prepared for presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments with the amended date of January 30th, 2014. Kristen?
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Steelmeyer?
Aye.
Now we have to deliberate on our 6 criteria, and I guess I'd like to hear from the board first, just by categories, which areas that you might have concern about that we need to explore. If there's areas that we don't need to spend much time on, I'd rather not, waste our time on those items. I mean, I think we've got traffic. We know that. Mm-hmm. Are there any concerns about compatibility or transition?
Okay. No.
We have the 4th criteria is for parking and loading. That probably, we need to probably have some more discussion on that to make sure that we're together with that and any criteria that might be on there. Signs and lighting has kind of been taken off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the environmental protection portion, which I'm going to have a question on staff on that one, so at least briefly, I want to talk just a little bit more about the well and what that means. Does that seem to match people as we go? Okay. Let's start to talk with then about traffic. What the code says is that the development shall provide for adequate ingress and egress with particular attention to vehicular and pedestrian safety and convenience, traffic flow and control, and emergency access. Now, I'm assuming that this road is of adequate width such that if we've got a pickup with dual tires on it that's on that road, that a fire truck could still get up and down the road? Is that a fair question? Or
I would think that would be a fair assumption.
We've run into some other cases northeast of Ames where the road was had some narrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, keep in mind, we did get comments from West Story Fire Agency concurring with the application, and this is a heavily used by Iowa State traffic and farm machinery.
Comments about traffic beyond what we've already poked about. I mean, we've talked about the road. When it comes down to environment, that'll be some of the dust part as we get into there. I mean, could you put the county's condition? There we go. You got that up there. The planning and zoning conditions up there.
Those are the planning and zoning conditions. With numbers 5 and 6 already being satisfied.
Okay. Control is in there. Is traffic control?
No. No.
That is not.
That
so then
is not.
If we have something there, then we would need to have a condition on traffic control.
And on the dust control, keep in mind, Planning and Zoning Commission has a different recommendation than that of the
Correct.
County engineer. And this is their recommendation.
Craft something, I think, on traffic control as we go through it. I think it's inevitable. We're doing it for essentially one day, but I think that one day will be important. Anything else on traffic that board members have?
Why don't we extend the dust control beyond the 200 feet north?
Let's do that when we get to environmental.
Okay, all right.
I think that's really kind of in the environmental piece as we go. But at least I think we understand the traffic. You know, I don't think we can. I think the university has a point, but I know you want to be open for business and get the, you know, the city wants you to collect the trash, the yard waste. So staying away from some of those dates just plain makes sense. I don't know that we can constrain this by that. It's different dates, and that would be very difficult.
I don't think that's our role to determine what the dates are, but I mean, I think that they ought to have a sensitivity to certain dates, and it sounds like they do. So,
okay, and we've got the parking and loading.
It's difficult to look at 3 and 4, traffic and parking and loading separately, because the two of them are very tightly connected.
Well, I kind of think that. For some of that, having an annual, requiring some sort of an annual inspection / review would be important in case we have to fix some of this.
Well, and I would
we all know what we're facing. Yet.
I would also agree with there was a recommendation in here about a logbook, mm-hmm. logging in what you've got coming in and going out.
Yeah, that's number 4 on their conditions of approval.
Yeah. I still feel that. If you can move the parking and loading through quickly enough, you will alleviate a lot of the traffic problems that you will have.
I think, David, your thoughts are exactly what I was thinking. That I mean, we don't have enough information at this point to know what the traffic is going to be other than some anecdotal evidence. And an annual review is going to give us an opportunity, like you say, to fix problems. If there are any, and so that's sort of my attitude about it. And I mean, the applicant's going to have an interest in making sure that it works and doing right by it. So I guess I would, you know, I think that we're going to be able to resolve some of this with an annual review if there is a problem. The only thing that I would say, I'm not sure what is involved in a daily log, but I certainly wouldn't expect the applicant to do things like collect names or anything like that. I mean, we're just talking about numbers. That's it. Because we don't want them wasting time, really, with that type of stuff.
Yeah, and clarification, I would agree with it. I'm looking more for numbers. That way we've got an idea. You know, in defense, the applicant really doesn't have a good handle on the numbers either that will come through there. And they may be just fine. They may be able to move them through fine. But it would also give us a log for future reference if we have to consider this again.
Knowing that this is a Saturday weekend, I know you don't have an abundance of staff. I mean, is it practical or possible to have a county person stop by on one of those 3 days to see what's going on firsthand?
I, if it's directed to do so, we can accomplish that. And maybe they're on a personal matter anyway.
Never know.
Well, I didn't want to assume something.
Oh, and obviously, if there is a traffic concern, if there's a complaint filed, it will go to the Story County Sheriff's Office first. And that is something we'll probably operationalize as to once the dates are set, make sure that Sheriff Fitzgerald is aware of those dates so that he and deputies on duty that day will be at least be knowledgeable of the traffic patterns happening.
And I'm not going to ask for a response because we're in our deliberation part, but I think the point the university made about traffic coming from the west is also important, because I can picture that if it was a game day, but let's just say that the game was late in the afternoon, and so there's a lot of people who are going to do their brush early and et cetera, I could see people coming down State Street and coming over. So now you got people coming like this and this, and mm-hmm. We all know some people are polite in parking lots and some people aren't as polite. So that's something that if we run into those circumstances, that as you deal with traffic control, you need to look at it globally and not just, yeah, okay. That was just a bit of admonishment that I wanted to make sure I put out there. I think there is a point to be made there, that you can't be out there worrying about the unloading the whole time, and, you know, you got to look out further, not just on site. We'll say then environmental protection is the other one that's left, since we don't have anything really on the parking and loading. We've got traffic. We've talked about an annual review. And then the environmental protection, there's really two issues. I just kind of wanted to ask, what is it that you do to protect that well? What's involved with that?
I
know they're required to do it. I
can't answer that.
Okay. I could
give you the best guesstimate that that wouldn't be fair, because it probably would not be accurate.
I'm going to assume that you're going to do grading and everything such that...
And it may depend on the type of well it is, and if it's going to be an actively used well or if it's something that could be plugged. I mean, that would definitely fall under...
That's one of the conditions as well, right? That number 8?
Yep, that's number 6. Yep.
That's covered. Then we have dust control under environmental protection. Mm-hmm. I certainly think that the county engineers thought about going, was it 200 feet past the intersection? That doing that at least is probably an important thing.
That 200 feet gets you right north of the intersection.
You want the map up there again of the dust control, maybe?
So the purple again is that area required by the contract with the City of Ames. The blue is the additional 200 feet to the intersection of 260th, and then the orange / brown is the additional that in front of the existing residential dwellings.
The additional 200 feet was the county engineer's recommendation, or his was the...
His included the orange. It was kind of a two-tiered approach. First, do at least the intersection, but it would be very beneficial to do. I can get you the exact wording. Okay. He found some information about, I think, if I remember right, about 340 vehicle counts per day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the date of that. I don't think he included in his comments. I'll check the staff report, though, and make sure I have the number right.
My reasoning behind that is if there's already 340 vehicles a day on that road on a given day in June, just to grab that, so not our 3 days, but on a given day in June, the incremental traffic associated with this just does not seem that would be their liability to go all the way up.
I would agree.
Now, if we could split it amongst all those 340 vehicles, that would be fair. But I would ask the sympathy for the going through the intersection.
I would go along with that also.
Other thoughts? Victoria, do you have a...
No, I mean, I agree entirely. I think it'd be an undue burden on the applicant to provide that level of depth control. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, if my notes are right, we need to, and I think we're comfortable with all of the conditions of planning and zoning, and we're talking about the possibility of three additional ones. One was traffic control, to make sure that that is crafted in a way that we're comfortable with, because it's not on the conditions that came forth from planning and zoning. The other one is a requirement of some sort of an annual review by staff to go on there.
They have that on there too as number three.
Mm-hmm. And then a condition to extend the limits of the dust control. Those would be...
They've already got that in there, the 200 feet north. That was their...
Oh, that was in there. So then we don't have to do... We've got the interview. The only thing we need to do is do something on traffic control.
But, no, in the draft decision and order you have in front of you, it doesn't have the... condition number 8 above any wells present on the site that inadvertently was left off. So if you're looking at the draft decision order, page 8, on the bottom, there are but staff included the standard. That is not listed on there. Number 8 up here, any wells present on the site must be located and all applicable protective measures put in place prior to any activity related to the conditional use permit occurring.
Was on the planning and zoning. So actually we could adopt the conditions as forwarded by planning and zoning, even though it's not written that way here, because that's of record,
mm-hmm.
along with our own conditions. So then we would not have to, you know, try to amend this. This is just a working document.
Except number 5 and 6. You would just not include numbers 5 and 6, as those have already been satisfied. No, on the screen here.
Yeah.
These are the regarding planning and zoning commission recommendations.
But we would approve the planning and zoning conditions less items 5 and 6.
Did I hear you say, though, Leanne, that the
issue with the well is that you were
satisfied that that was, or that the environmental staff was satisfied?
Yeah.
That was an issue.
Where are Kathy's comments?
She said she wanted to be able to inspect it.
I'd like to see it this spring. But I don't see it as being harmful to have it as a condition of approval. If anything, as a reminder that needs to be accomplished and make sure that any safety concerns are addressed by that the health department may have.
Help me out with this. Why should this be a condition in this conditional use permit? I mean, how is it that this ties into this particular request? Why is it important here, or is it just an additional promise we'd like to extract?
Well, that's a good question. The response I'm going to give you is the land development regulations that govern the general health, safety, and welfare of the citizens in the vicinity and area. So if you have a well that may have issues, that's definitely not the planning and zoning regulations, but still is the general health, safety, and general welfare.
But really doesn't have anything to do with this particular request. It's just you're just asking us to approve conditional use, and as a result, we also want to take care of this. Okay.
And I think it has been satisfied, but again, that's not a call that we can make. It'd be something that the health department have to make.
talking about adding something on traffic.
I was just writing down.
Oh, that's what you're writing
down. Yeah, I was trying to get the actual words down here. And what I was starting to do is the applicant will provide traffic control personnel. I'm going to just say designated. So that's their job. Designated traffic control personnel on site and on roadways during 3 days in the fall, in the spring and fall. Now that's not saying how many, but it does have designated traffic control, so you give you an orange vest and say traffic control on it. I think that would work. We've got the annual review, and the dust is in there. So actually,
right, the logbook is in there.
We would be getting close. Okay.
Well, I mean, personally, I would say that with respect to the conditions, that the issue with the wells, I won't vote against a motion to include that particular condition, but I think generally that particular condition doesn't have anything to do with this particular request, and I guess I am resistant to extracting another promise from them just for, you know, just as in exchange for doing this particular conditional use permit. But
well, the only thing is we are going to change the way that this land is used. And you certainly don't want to have a well end up at a low spot, because you've got the possibility of bringing water in. And so, and I think that's what they're talking about primarily in there. So that you've got good positive flow away from the well. You want to keep surface water out of it. You know, you want the groundwater to come into it. And we're going to be moving materials. You're going to have a lot more heavy equipment and other stuff in there. You just don't want to end up with that in a low spot. So I think it's a fairly easy cross check.
At least to get the health department in there looking at it in the environmental group.
Okay. Then backing up just a little bit, you know, all my papers shifted around here. Just a reminder, so we either agree with or have crafted conditions that would address the six criteria that we have to go through. And the last item is if we conclude that all the above criteria will be met with our conditions, it must be recommended approval unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong possibility the development will not adequately safeguard health, safety, etc., will not impair adequate supply of light and air, will not unduly increase congestions on the road or hazard from firewood or similar dangers, will not diminish or impair established property values, and will not be in accordance with the intent spirit of land development regulations, either any concerns from the board members on any of those criteria. I mean, we have some concern about the traffic. I mean, that's been the biggest issue, but I think the annual review, since there's so much that we do not know yet, is probably the best way to handle that. Okay. So, to our order. I didn't have it on my...
I'm on page 2.
Oh, both here. We are at the point of decision. So does anybody want to move to adopt those?
I'll move that we adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
We've got a motion to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment. Roll, please.
Miller.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Spielmeyer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Okay. Now we're to the order.
someone wants to take that on, and I've written some words down there if that works for you.
Can you bring up the screen with the options again, Mia? Thank you.
Okay. Dave, can you repeat that traffic control condition?
Part of the motion.
Yes, thank you.
Request is proposed by the applicant in case number CUP03-12, as discussed by the Story County Board of Adjustment, and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding all applicable standards of approval have been satisfied with the application of the following conditions of approval, as recommended to us by the Planning and Zoning Board, with the exception of 5 and 6, and adding that the applicant will provide designated traffic control personnel on site and on roadways during free days in the spring and fall.
A motion, we have a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, then roll call, please.
Wait a minute, did you have a second? I'll second.
Oh, do we not get a second?
No.
Not yet. You were ahead of us.
Meyer has the credit. He's hanging on his words.
They were brilliant.
Okay. Scarlett?
Aye.
Spielmeyer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Okay. That concludes the order at this point. Okay. I guess that brings you back to the City of Ames. That probably brings you back to the City of Ames next, I'm assuming. Any other business? So when we get down there, board comments from anyone? Okay, staff comment time.
Just a few updates. The deadline for your March meeting is next week, or is it? Did we revise it to today as well? We do know you have a meeting in March. You'll have at least one conditional use permit request.
That'll be March.
March 6th? March 6th, I believe.
Yes, it is March 6th.
Just an update on our department budget. We came out fairly okay. Not a lot of, no new requests for staff were funded, and we didn't submit any requests for additional staff, but we will remain at 3.5 FTEs and continue without a code enforcement position. The job descriptions for the two planners have been revised. Actually, across the board for Story County, they've undertaken revisions of all county job all positional job descriptions. So we're all operating under a new grading scale, new job descriptions, new performance measurement standards, total new approach in some ways. But code enforcement has been built into their job descriptions, and obviously it's in mine too. So we're hopefully going to have a work session with the Board of Supervisors to get some direction as to how they would like to see the code enforcement be managed, whether it be as we see things or strictly complaint-based, whatever that may be, how that's going to look. And then once we get some direction from them, we'll have to work to craft the program accordingly. But hopefully we'll get that after the budget work session in the middle of March. But I did not ask for additional staff, nor was it offered, but that codification project, you hear me talk about Chapter 10, Chapter 12, Chapter 4, all the, in the very foreseeable future, definitely by the end of this fiscal year, those chapters will all cease to exist. The Board of Supervisors has hired a company to take all of our existing ordinances, whether it be our land development regulations or our floodplain management ordinance, or health departments or animal control, anything that's on the books as an ordinance of Story County, and actually codify it into a code of ordinances. We have not officially had one for several years. And the state audit has found that, and the situation is being rectified. So what that means, though, your nice little binder like this,
mm-hmm.
You won't have again. But I don't see us buying each of you a code of Story County either.
That would be online. That's what you're...
Yeah, I don't... Honestly, Dave, I don't know how we'll present it to you. And there will be cases where staff will make mistakes in staff reports as we try to go into a new numbering system. It will take some getting used to on our end, too. It's much needed, and it will be very user-friendly, hopefully, for the general public. And to make us right, we need to have a code of ordinances, too. But it will change.
Talk about enforcement, and when you did have an enforcement person, obviously things were brought up through that person, you know, that they would encounter just as they were going out doing something else and encountered. And it seems like most of those cases fell into the category of people who were unaware that they had to meet any criteria. I mean, is there something that we need to consider to build awareness in the county?
That is a good question, and I don't have an answer. I think a PR campaign of some sort will have to be a component of whatever direction we take. And if we strictly are directed to go on a complaint basis, we probably don't need that. And there's an ethical dilemma we may face, too. How do you turn a blind eye when you're standing there at one neighbor and look across the street and see the same thing? What responsibility do we have as professional planners and staff of Story County to fairly and equitably apply the regulations?
So I hope that it doesn't go to...
And maybe that you all are part of the enforcement end of Story County. When I make a decision that someone disagrees with, you have the ability to overturn that. And so when we issue a notice of violation, in that letter, it includes paperwork for them to appeal that decision to you all. So whatever direction enforcement takes, you will need to be at the table. So Dave as the chair and Steve as the vice chair, when that work session is set, you'll be extended invitations. And I think you all are welcome to attend too, but I think you have a very unique perspective to offer to that dialogue and for the board to consider as board of supervisors as they give us direction as to what that program looks, feels like, and how it's been ultimately implemented. Last thing I had, the Sapir variance that was denied, just an update. It's not coming back to you. They did file for a rezoning, and that is going before the Planning and Zoning Commission next week. And then if they take action next week, it'll go early March to the Board of Supervisors. At this point, we have not received comments that I'm aware of from the City of Ames.